His fans call him Mr. E, sometimes a man called E, sometimes just E, whatever you call him. Mark Everett is the creative force behind the rock band Eels. Boy, could he howl.
I am ever hungry, lobo. On the prowl for a restless night, I got her right here in my sights. Got a fuse that I can light.
A song called Tremendous Dynamite from the new album Hombre Lobo, their first in 4 years. Mr. Everett, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here.
I got to ask you about this cover art on the CD. You've got a ZZ Top-like beard, and of course I ask because Hombre Lobo translates to Wolfman.
Yeah, I was working on some other music, and I looked in the mirror one morning and I saw this werewolf staring back at me. And I thought, you know, this beard doesn't really suit the music that I'm working on currently. I should cut it off. And then at the last minute, it occurred to me, well, why don't I just make some music that suits the beard and I'll keep it?
When you say you see this werewolf staring back at me, go with that, okay? Do you just mean facial hair or something else?
Well, it started a line of thinking at that point, and I thought about the last time I had a substantial beard was when we did the album Souljacker in 2001. The reason I grew a beard then is I was really into the... I got into the character of the first song on the album, which is called Dogface Boy.
Mom won't shave me, Jesus can't save me, Dogface Boy.
And then I thought it would be interesting to revisit a character from an old song who's now an adult all these years later, and what's he like? And that's when I started to really get into this werewolf idea.
After the fires, before the flood, my sweet baby, I need fresh blood.
Not exactly how much is that doggy in the window, is it?
Well, it's sort of an update on that, I guess. I mean, it occurred to me that something that seems to be kind of lacking in so-called indie rock these days is the element of sex and danger. And I just thought, you know, isn't that where the term rock and roll came from? Let's howl after some girls now and then.
There are some songs, though, in the CD that almost sound like innocent infatuations.
Well, I look at the songs as kind of sales pitches from this character who's trying to convince the object of his desire that he's the man for them. Mm-hmm. And he takes different approaches, and sometimes, like in the song you just played, he kind of loses his cool and lets his passions take over. And other times he takes a more tender approach.
Could we play a little bit of All the Beautiful Things?
Sure.
Every day I wake up and wonder why I'm alone when I know I'm a lovely guy. Birds come down from skies so blue, see all the beautiful things you do. Why can't I just get with you?
That's a very sweet song.
Yeah, he's not always scary. You know, he's got a tender heart, apparently. He's really just a delicate little flower underneath that giant beard.
You'd be my only friend. You could just be my girl.
It's been 4 years since you put out a CD, I guess.
Yeah, since we put out a new one, anyway.
And how do you fill the time?
Well, I was quite busy the last 4 years. I wrote a book and made a documentary about my father. And
can we talk about that documentary, Parallel Worlds, Parallel Lives?
But many of Mark's fans don't know that his father, Hugh Everett, is also a cult figure in the world of physics for pioneering the strange theory of parallel universes. Hugh Everett proposed a multitude of universes, each a home to an alternate reality, including alternate versions of you and me.
First of all, what universe is this interview going on?
Well, I'm only aware of this one. According to my father's theory, it's going on in many, many other universes, and it's gone completely haywire in some of them.
You guys didn't have exactly a Norman Rockwell family, is that fair to say?
I think that's pretty accurate.
I mean, around the house, he didn't get down on his knees and play jacks with you.
No, the only time he ever resembled a human to me and did something like that is he would get down and play with a dog on the floor occasionally. But otherwise, there was no signs of that there was a human inside that body. It was more like a piece of furniture or a robot was in the house.
He's a very gifted thinker, obviously.
Yeah, and the tragedy of his life was that he was just too smart too soon. And he was 24 when he came up with this theory that threatened to knock all the faces on the Mount Rushmore of physics off. Mm-hmm. And so he was brushed under the carpet. And the great thing about doing something like a documentary like this about your father, I feel like everybody should be so lucky to get to do something like that, because I really learned so much about him.
Yeah.
And I learned that we have a lot of things in common, and it's made me identify with him in a lot of ways, and it's ultimately led to me being able to forgive him for his shortcomings as a father.
What do you have in common?
Well, we're both...
Our music is math.
Yeah, they say those things are related. We're both idea men, I think. You know, we both live in our heads. Mm-hmm. It's easier for me to forgive him now because I'm the same way a lot. I'm a fairly isolated kind of individual.
There's a scene in the documentary where you discover some tapes in your basement that you've never heard before.
It was really strange. I was really nervous to play that tape because I couldn't even remember what my father's voice sounded like. He'd been dead for 25 years. And then the second I heard it on the tape, I immediately knew it was him, and I remembered it and recognized it as him.
Oh, we're starting to say some ridiculous things about the implications of quantum mechanics.
And then, but the hardest part was hearing all the sounds from my house, hearing my mom laughing in the background. She's now dead also. And then my sister, who's also dead. And then the really odd thing happens where you start to hear me playing drums downstairs while my father's talking on the tape recorder.
End of this tape.
No one has a right until they've fought my fight to understand just where I'm coming from.
I gather your sister died in 1996.
Yeah. I did one particular album in 1998 called Electroshock Blues that was very explicitly dealing with my sister and my mother's death.
I've been told your manager didn't like the idea of that album.
Yeah, I look back on that as the defining moment when I finally became a man, when my manager, who was like a father figure to me, I had to go against his advice and stick to my guns.
Was he trying to just protect you from hurt?
Well, I mean, I think it was the first time I had really done something where I was certain that I had done the right thing. I think if I had taken the advice of the record industry people at the time, which would be to just keep trying to have as many radio hits as possible, I don't think it would have worked, and that would have been the end of it, and never would have heard from me again. I think doing things exactly how I wanted to do them was what's made it so I'm able to still be here.
This new CD, is there any song you'd like to call to our attention?
My favorite is the second one, called That Look You Give That Guy.
I never thought that I could be so bold to even say these thoughts aloud. I see you with your man, your eyes just shine, while he stands tall and walking proud.
Mark Everett, frontman for The Eels. Their new album, Hombre Lobo, was released this week. Mr. E, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
It always seems like you're going somewhere better than you've been before. Well, I go to sleep and I dream all night. You're knocking on my door. That look you give that guy, I wanna see, looking right at me. If I could be that guy.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.